week two of our love series. I have no good intro, so let me just start reading, all right? It's not going to be on the screen. I'll just read, kind of set the tone for today. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Kiss me full on the mouth." Yes. It's going to be a fun day. I'm reading out a Song of Solomon, and there's a point, so just bear with me. Yes, for your love is better than wine, headier than your aromatic oils. The syllables of your name murmur like a meadow brook. No wonder everyone loves to say your name. Take me away with you. Let's run off together. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, it starts, as an apricot tree stands out in the forest, my lover, this is the woman talking, my lover stands above the young men in town. All I want is to sit in his shade, to taste and savor his delicious love. He took me home with him for a festive meal. Oh, but his eyes feasted on me. It's in the Bible. It's weird, but it's in the Bible. And then in verse, it gets better. We're going PG-13 today. Just fair warning, you may have to answer some questions in the car. But we're talking to married people, so don't get dirty, all right? Talking to married people today. And in chapter 4, verse 1 says, "You're so beautiful, my darling, so beautiful, and your dove eyes are veiled by your hair. And as it flows and shimmers like a flock of goats in the distance, streaming down the hillside in the sunshine. Your smile is generous." It's almost hard to get through with a straight face. "Your smile is generous and full, expressive and strong and clean. Your lips are jewel red, your mouth elegant and inviting. Your veiled cheeks soft and radiant. The smooth lines of your neck command notice. All heads turn in awe and admiration. Your breasts are like fawns, twins of a gazelle grazing among the first spring flowers." It's in the Bible. Get mad. It's all right. I just want to make sure I have all your attention and we set the tone for today. This could be listed in the doesn't normally get preached category. All right? Verse 6, "The sweet fragrant curves of your body, the soft spice contours of your flesh invite me, and I come. I stay until dawn breathes light and night slips away. You're beautiful from head to toe, my dear love, beautiful beyond compare, absolutely flawless." And then in chapter 7, let's get even weirder. Verse 6, it says, "Your beauty within and without is absolute, dear love, close companion. You are tall and supple like the palm tree. And your breasts are like sweet clusters of dates." And I say, verse 8, if you want to write this one down, chapter 7, verse 8, I say, I'm going to climb that palm tree. I'm going to caress its fruit. I'm talking to married people this morning. I'm going to caress its fruit. Oh, yes. "Your breath clean and cool like fresh mint. Your tongue and lips like the best wine." And it's in there. And I read this. Oh, I've got some of y'all just all messed up. And it's Song of Solomon, and the words are as red as the chairs. And look, here's the deal. I read that and I go, man, who writes this mess? I mean, this is just awkward and sappy and weird. And all you men are like, you're with me. You're like, who writes that? And all you women, most women, I know it's awkward because the preacher just read it. But most women, you see that stuff and you're like, I like that. I mean, I would like for some man to feel that way and pin that kind of thing about me. And we men are like, ugh. Because men and women are different, right? And I read that as an illustration because I was reading some of this with my wife and I was like, ugh, and this is crazy discussion. She's like, it's kind of sweet. Kind of sweet. And so you women, you're fanning and you're, because I read it and we're in church and you're like, I'm not supposed to like it, but it's kind of sweet. I mean, this is the kind of love women are looking for. They need that man who thinks that way and would feel that way about him. And we men are like, dude, this is just, like, who does that? Because men and women are different, right? Duh. But men and women are different, not just in love, but in almost every aspect of life. Women do crazy things, like take showers every day. Right? Women have accessories and shoes to match their outfits. And sometimes, and this is crazy, that some women have underpants that match the shoes and the accessories to wear with the outfit because it makes them feel pretty. And we have that pair of underwear that's on top of the dirty clothes, and if it's the cleanest, we put it on, right? We're different. And women will go pick out a pair of shoes and say to you, my wife does this all the time, she'll say to me, these shoes kill my feet. And then she'll put them on. And then we'll be halfway through whatever we're doing, and she'll look at me and go, my feet are killing me. And I want to go, we talked about this before we left. Why would you wear shoes that hurt your feet? Because they look so pretty on me. Look how they match this jewelry and this necklace and my earrings. Because women do things differently. Women find value in a gift, but not so much in how much you spent. The good ones, that is. I mean, there are those out there that's all they care about is how much was it. You know, and I ain't saying she a gold digger. Right? You know, she ain't messing with no broke. That was a Kanye reference. And if you didn't get it, you're old. And that's all right. Right? So the good ones, they don't care so much about, like, how much it cost. They care about the value of a gift. We guard our wallet. We want to know, right? But women, they find value in a gift and how much you thought about it and what it means to them. And women spend hours and hundreds getting their hair to look just right. And we men can't tell that much difference. But to you, you rave, and your girlfriends, that's the craziest thing, is when there's a haircut taking place, my wife has finally learned to warn me, because she'll say, I'm getting my hair done tonight, and that is her way of saying, and when I get home, whether you notice or not, I need you to say, your hair looks good. And she'll go, well, I don't know, she cut this, and there's a quarter of an inch missing here, and I put this piece behind my ear, and can you tell she dropped it 1/3 of an 1/8 of a degree lighter, and can you tell, is it okay, is it too much? And I'm like, looks beautiful, baby. Hours and hundreds on getting that hair just right. And here's the crazy thing in love, women aren't so much attracted to the physical. It's all about words, and it's all about emotion. It's all about action. I mean, we men are very drawn to the physical. But women can say, when you say, what are you looking for in a man? And they say, somebody with a nice personality. They mean it. They're the opposite of us men. Because we men are attracted. Women, and not up front, but I mean a lasting love. Women aren't so much drawn to the physical. I mean, look around. Just look around. Look at all the attractive women we have sitting beside the not so attractive men. I mean, women, that's not what they're necessarily what they're looking for. They need security. They need emotion. They need love. They need actions. They need words. And man, you see it all the time. You go out in public and you see this really good-looking woman, and she's walking around with Sasquatch, you know. And I'm going to get Sasquatch into every sermon from now on. It worked last week. I'm going to get it into every sermon. And you look and you go, man, how did he score? I mean, I see it in here. I see all of you walking around with Sasquatch, you know. And you say, how? And you realize he treats her well. He loves her. She feels love, because men and women are different. Women need things in love and in life that we men, we don't even think about. I mean, they're just different. They receive love differently than we men do. And so because we're different in so many ways in every aspect of life, we men, we need to understand that our partner, if we're married, when I read this Song of Solomon mess, the women are swooning on the inside. And it'll touch them emotionally and go, yeah, that's beautiful. That's love. That guy loved her to pin that kind of thing. That's beautiful. And we men are going, what a waste of time. You know? Well, because we're different. But we got to figure out what women need. Women perceive love. They perceive romance differently than we do. So today, we're talking to the men about the women. That's the goal. Today, men, this is for you. We're talking to the men about the women, and we need to learn to give the agape. We talked last week about agape love. Agape love is unselfish. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial love. How do we men help our woman know that we love them? How do we give love, like unconditional, just sacrificial love to our woman, to the woman that God puts in our life? How do we do that? Especially if you're married, because marriage does this to us. Marriage kind of sets a trap, and we fall into it. We get busy. We have children. We have jobs. We get selfish, and marriage sets a trap that leads us to just kind of existing and surviving, don't we? Our spouse, our wife, becomes the person we live with. Our spouse becomes the person who's a ride for the kids somewhere. Our spouse is the person that we used to be able to write off on our taxes. Right? That's what happens. Marriage sets this trap for us, and we get busy. So all my political friends were like, preach. Right? Like they, marriage sets this trap for us, and it leads us into surviving. It leads us into just existing. But do you remember the good days? Do you remember the good old days before you got married? I mean, it was all about the chase, wasn't it? I mean, it was all about impressing her with your words, wasn't it? I mean, all this sappy stuff. I remember the first time I wrote Shannon a poem. I wrote Shannon a poem, and when I wrote it, she was like, I'm going to frame it and keep it, and you made things rhyme, and it's the worst poem I've ever written, but you wrote it, and it's, oh, I love it, you love me. And I thought, well, this is easy enough. I started writing a poem a month, surprising her with it, and that along with the stuffed animals I stole from Putt-Putt where I worked, and it's no wonder I got fired, right? But I'd take the... Probably need to pay them back. No, they're closed, so I'm good. I'm in the clear. But like I would like take her little stuffed animals and little hearts, and now I walk through the Valentine's section at Walmart and go, who buys this junk? And then I remember, I did. I used to buy this stuff on a regular basis because it was all about the chase. It was all about impressing her because you knew that she needed to feel loved and we needed to give that to her. Remember when y'all were apart, you used to miss each other? Remember those days? For some of us, that was a long time ago, right? Remember when you were apart, you missed each other? In those days, if you're like me and Shannon, it's become, don't we need something from the store? Don't you need to take the kids with you when you go? For a few of you that are willing to admit it, right? It's you keep the kids here, I'm going to go to the store. I'll be back in 5 or 50 minutes. I just need to get away. But remember the good days when you were like when you were dating and chasing and courting? Then when you were apart, man, it crushed you. You would always write letters and make phone calls because you missed being with that person. And here's the thing. It used to be that way. Marriage sets a trap of existing and surviving. What happens? We didn't develop our love. We didn't continue to develop our love. True love has to be developed. The warm, fuzzy, emotional feelings, the attraction, that physical arousal, even our lust, all those things fade. Every single one of those things goes away. They're only temporary. But true love can last forever. I mean, true love is somewhat separated from this emotional feeling. And guys, I want you to hear this. If nothing else, everything that you did in order to get her to marry you, you need to work even harder to keep her married to you. I mean, we need to work as hard or harder once we're married as we ever did to get her to say yes. And we guys are terrible about that because we're all about accomplishing something, stopping and bragging about our accomplishments, aren't we? And marriage is not the stopping point. Marriage is the place where we start working even harder. I mean, once you're married, you need to work even harder because true passion and true love, it doesn't just kind of keep happening. The reason she said yes is because she felt loved by you. The reason your marriage will grow stronger and stay stronger is because she still feels loved by you. And the passion and the love, we've got to develop it. It requires this ongoing commitment. And men have been called to understand that our wives are different than us. We can laugh about it because it is funny. They write great books and comics, and it's the premise of almost every successful TV show that we ever watch, is that men and women are different, and they're trying to understand each other, right? Think about it. Every TV show has a female character or a random male character to add conflict because men and women are different. But we've been called. We don't get to choose it. We've been called. As the male, as the husband in the relationship, that we are called then to understand that our wives are different. But then to move further than that, to understand what her needs are, but then to move even further than that and then begin to meet her needs. If you're single in here, I hope to set a pretty high standard for you. I do. If you're a single young man, one day, man, you'll get a girlfriend, I promise. One day. One day. Even Sam has a girlfriend or two. Right, one day, if you're a single man, I hope to set a high standard of how you treat your woman, how you treat. If you're married in here, I hope to challenge you because that's what Scripture does. Scripture then, it challenges us to step up. It challenges us to understand her needs and then meet her needs. And as all you men are thinking to yourself, we should have skipped today. Get ready. Because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is where I want to start. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives." Everybody say honor. Honor. That was most of the women. All you men, say honor.
Honor.
Treat you don't want to, do you? I don't like this. I don't like this part. It says, "All your husbands must honor, give honor to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you." Don't jump all over me and start going women's lib. I'm going to explain. "She may be weaker than you, but listen, she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should," and hear this, "so your prayers will not be hindered." This verse does several things for us. First of all, it tells us what we've just been talking about. Men and women are different, and we men are called to understand that they're different. They're the different partner. And it says, and it uses the word weaker, that she is the weaker. But you know what this word really means? It means more feminine, more emotional, more sensitive. And you know what? We chose that, didn't we? That's why we didn't go marry a big burly man who was our best friend. We chose the weaker partner, right? I chose a more sensitive, a more feminine, a more emotional, a more soft, a weaker partner, because that's who I chose, because I needed that to complete and to fix some of my issues. And so don't get crazy, ladies. I mean, this is not a verse to slam you. It just is explaining that we men sometimes judge everything based off who's the toughest, the strongest, the best, and the baddest. And we expect that then out of our wives. And that's not why we married them. You chose the more emotional, the more sensitive, the softer, the more feminine. That's who you need in your life. It's what attracted you. All those hours and hundreds before you were spending the hundreds out of your bank account. You like that. That's what you like. You like the feminine and the pretty. And so he says the weaker partner, but it's very clear. We need to understand that they may be more sensitive and emotional, but it does not mean they're less than equal to you. They're your equal partner in this new life that God's put together. And that's good, but it also shows us this, that how you treat your wife is part of your spiritual life. Your relationship with your God is with your wife, with your spouse, men, is directly connected to your relationship with God. That how you treat your wife is a reflection of how much you love God, and how much you love God is reflected in how you treat your wife. And it very clearly says, treat her as you should, or your prayer, so that your prayers will not be hindered. It shows us, man, that our relationship with our wife, the woman we married, is a direct relationship to how we treat and how we feel and how we love God. And so these verses are a challenge to men. These verses are not a slam on women. These verses are a challenge to men. Men, hear me. Hear me and understand my passion this morning. Men have been called to step up and be leaders in your home. You have been called, you've been designed to be a leader in your home. You've been called to be a spiritual leader. And here's where my passion is. We're failing miserably. Men, they call themselves Christians, failing miserably. One of the heartbeats of why we started this church, and I can't remember who I heard say it, but I was at a conference and they were talking about culture and they were talking about society, and it was a pastor of a pretty big church, and I can't remember which one it was, but he made the statement. He said, "Society and culture has come to this point that a mark of manhood is when a son gets old enough to look at his mom and say, 'I don't have to go to church today, I'm going to stay home with dad.'" And when we launched this church, that statement broke my heart and went, man, that's where we're failing. We're bombing this thing. This is spiritual design. This is God's design for our life, that we as men would be spiritual leaders in our home, that the woman would not have to lead our kids. The woman shouldn't have to make spiritual decisions for you. We as men have been called. We as men have been charged. It says it in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault." Verse 28, "And in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself." Hear me, men. Number one, the thing that I really want you to hear is that when you're married, you need to work harder than you did to get her. The second thing I really want you to hear this, and if you hear nothing else and you write nothing else down and nothing else chalks up in your brain when you leave this place, there's a goal in marriage. And you as the husband, as the spiritual leader, have a goal in marriage. That your spouse, that your wife would be more like Christ because of your relationship. This is what you've been called to. As a man, you can't deny it. And as a man, I was taught so many things about being a man. I was essentially raised up in a world, most of you were too, that in order to be man, you had to eliminate everything feminine. That's how you're a man, is you become a man by eliminating feminine things. And we're going to talk about this next week, and next week I'm going to talk to the women about the men, and you don't want to miss. Tyler, if he'll let me, I'm going to join the praise band, and we're going to do a really awesome song that's inappropriate, and you'll like it, all right? Promise. You thought that a Song of Solomon's was inappropriate. Come next week, if Tyler will allow me, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to make my singing debut at Awestruck. It's going to be terrible. But you're going to like the song. As a man, it doesn't mean just to be anti-feminine. Here, you know when I learned to be a man? 7 years ago, it'd be 8 years ago, March the 23rd. My little girl was born, and all of a sudden, everything, because I had a boy, and you know what I teach him to do? I was in his face yesterday over basketball. He was upset and crying over basketball, and I got, "We don't cry. What are you crying for? We don't cry, boy. We don't cry. We're men. We play ball. We take losses like men," right? Like, that's how we treat our boys, you know, right? All you dads are like, "That's right." But I had this little girl, Chris, right? And this little girl comes in my life, and you dads with little girls, you're going, "Yeah, I know." I mean, I had this little girl come in my life, and you know when I learned how to be a man? It's manly to sit on the front row of Carolina Theater and weep my eyes out while my little baby girl dances in a hula skirt and shakes her little booty on stage. And I wept my eyes out, and I looked down, and there sat my son, and I thought, "Oh, man, I don't want him." I didn't know how I felt about him seeing me crying, and I looked down, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he goes, "She's doing awesome, isn't she, Dad?" And I'm like, "She is, buddy. She's dancing. She's just shaking her butt. Look at her." I learned how to be a man. I learned how to be a man by sitting really still with toenails painted. That's when I learned how to be a man. And all of a sudden, this little girl came in my life and showed me that being a man was so much more than not being feminine. It was about leading and guiding and setting an example and being a spiritual leader of my household, of my wife and of my kids, and understanding what makes them tick and encouraging them to be all that God created them to be. We have been called as men to lead our household spiritually, and we're failing. Why am I passionate? Because I fail as much as you fail. Why am I passionate? Because when I meet with other pastors, which happens at least once a month, sometimes more than that, and we ask questions and we pray for each other, and I ask, these are guys who are leading church plants who like to wear their blue jeans, and guys who are leading traditional existing churches who still have to wear suits and ties. It doesn't matter what style of church or what denomination, and we sit down and we say, "What's the number one thing we can pray for you? What are you dealing with right now? How can we pray for your church?" You know what the number one answer that I give, and you don't even know this, the number one answer that they give? "Pray for marriages in our church. They're falling apart like crazy." I believe that we're under attack. I honestly believe, and I'm not a charismatic demon around every bush and the devil made me do it, but I honestly believe that the devil is attacking marriages in churches. He is attacking Christian marriages like never before. And here's why I think. If he can destroy the marriage, he can destroy the church. And if he destroys the church, who spreads the gospel? Don't think that you're immune to separation. Don't think that you're immune to divorce. Don't think that you are immune to your life and what you know is marriage falling apart unless you're willing to work for it. Work harder after marriage than you did before marriage. And understand that your wife should become more like Christ because of your relationship with her. You've been called to lead her spiritually. This is the way that God designed it. This is what she needs. She needs a spiritual head of the household. I'm a firm believer in the old saying that the man is the head and the woman is the neck. And he can't go anywhere without her. But I also believe that Scripture tells us that the man is called to step up and lead. Men, we're failing and we've got to put an end to it. We have got to step up and love our wives. We've got to be willing, as Christ did, to give up our lives in order to become one with her, in order to lead our families, in order to rekindle romance and refire the love that you guys once had. That's the spiritual side. You want to have fun now? Set a good tone? I want to finish with some practical ways. Hear my heartbeat today. Sometimes when I get passionate, I yell, and I'm not mad at you. I love you all. But I'm passionate because I'm watching marriages fall apart in our church. And these aren't like non-Christian sinning people out in the world. These are people who are active. People that the first thing out of their mouth when they call me is, I never thought this would happen to us. So man, I want to talk to you about her and how then can we love our wives? How can we rekindle, make sure she knows and feels and we meet her needs of love? How do we do that? I want to give you four things. They're not original to me. I've reworded them. I wish I could remember where I read them a long, long time ago, but they're here. If you've heard me preach on love before, you've heard me say these, but I asked my wife if she remembered them and she said no, so I honestly don't think any of y'all do either. So I'm going to reuse them. The first one is this, that they need time. They all start with a T. It's great. I wish I had a poem to finish with. I'd feel like a real Baptist preacher for a day. The first one is this, it's time. That little girl, that 7-year-old little girl who's about to turn 8 in March, every time I walk out the door and she's there, her first question has been ever since she can talk, where are you going, Daddy? And I tell her, and she says, I'm going to miss you. And when I walk back in the house, two people greet me, the dog and my daughter. They're so happy to see me because they need time. Your woman needs time. They need time, not just time, but planned time. Plan time in your schedule for your wife. Take her to dinner. Take her to the park. Take her shopping. It hurts to even say that out loud. Take her shopping. I mean, it hurts to even say. That's why they got them big comfy chairs at the mall. Look around. The old guys get it. All right, we'll go to the mall. They sit. Look, they are full of old people. And those old men sit there and their wives go, my man sure does love me. All he did was sit in the chair and let her shop. But plan that time. Say to them, I want to take you shopping, and it hurts, I know it hurts. But make sure that in that time that it's uninterrupted and that it's focused. Make sure when you plan the time, even if it's 20 minutes or if it's 30 minutes or it's an hour out of the whole week, that it's uninterrupted. Women, put your Pinterest away. If he's going to put everything away and focus on you, put your phone away. Put your Pinterest away. It'll be okay. He's trying to spend time with you. I mean, a lot of times women just want to be with you and nothing else. They have, my wife, if I'm going somewhere, if all of them are comfy in the house and ready, and I'll say, hey, I got to run out real quick, and I'll be right back. And she'll, the first question out of her mouth was, do you want us just to ride with you? No. I really don't want you to ride. There's no need. You're comfortable, and the kids don't want to leave that way. Why would you want to ride with me? I don't know. Just so we could go with you, be with you, see you, talk to you. Just cause you're there, that's why. Right, they just need time. They want to be around you. They like that. Sit with them when they're upset. That's a hard one too. I mean, understand that men like to be alone when we're hurting. We like to deal with our mess alone. Women like to be with somebody. You're their husband. You should be their favorite person. Let them sit there. And then guys with kids, be there for your kids. Let me tell you something that I've learned. We're going to talk next week about what the men need. And if you want to get here, just understand, good fathers are sexy. And you women don't want to admit that out loud, but being a good daddy, sexy. Spend time with your kids, and your wife is taking notice, and then that helps us get to where. Next week, this is PG-13. Next week is going to be, leave your kids at home. Or listen to them. Next week, we're talking to the women about the men. So anyway, you get me? Being a good father is sexy. There's kids in here, and I'll stop there because I don't want y'all to have to answer a bunch of questions on the car. The second one is this, and it leads to that, is touch. They need time, but they need touch. And hear me, men, when I say that, you're like, yeah, this is the point I want. Hear me. This is not, women enjoy making love, and you men are like, yeah, me too. Hear me. Women, when they talk about this concept of making or feeling this touch, love, it's simply the physical expression of an inner emotion, an inner passion, and it doesn't always include sex. Weird, right? I mean, women just need to be touched. This idea that you're in public and you go out and you reach over and you take and you reach it over and you put it around her arm and feel her shudder and go, look, how long have y'all been married? 34, and you know why? Look at Randy's arm. It's right there around her shoulder. He knows, man. He's got the, look, guy, how long you been married? That's not, you're almost touching your wife. Look, how long y'all been married? 35 years. Look where his arm is. hear me. The rest of y'all, you women, have reached over to touch your husband, Christy. Survive. Look, you, Chris, are you there? You just put it up there, didn't you? I hear you. I'm telling you, there's something about that public touch, the arm on the shoulder, the hand being held. It's kind of like middle school all over again. But it says to the woman, I love you. I want people to know that I love you. And this idea of touch, I mean, this walk by and squeeze the rub the feet randomly, and don't expect anything more than rubbing feet. And then there's the emotional touch. Beyond the physical touch is the emotional touch. The emotional touches are things like, hey, I love you because, fill in the blank. Not just I love you because, I don't even want to know what's being discussed on the second row. I love you because, say to her, I love you because, and you fill in the blank. Say things to her like, I see that you got your hair cut. And I like it. Like, right? Let them know that you notice, I like those shoes that hurt your feet. And say it randomly. That leads to the next one. It's talk. They need time, they need touch, and they need talk. They need conversation. And conversation includes you listening, men. It includes you men actually listening to what's being said. And so when you talk, let her talk. And then you actually share how you feel. You share your emotions. Be willing to admit you're wrong. That's a tough one to say out loud. I mean, sometimes women just want to rant. Hey, can I get amen? Sometimes women just want to let it out. And you know what they need from you? A little bit of sympathy, not a solution. We men like to fix things. If it's broke, give it to us. We'll fix it. If we can't fix it, we're going to buy a new one. See it Lowe's. Can I ride with you? No, no. Right? Well, women just need... That's not even on my notes. That was right off the top of my head. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Thanks, Sam. Hear me. They just need somebody to talk and you to listen, and they just need you to say, I'm so sorry to hear that. And the last one, and this is just a heads up, tell them where you're going, because I get in trouble for that all the time. So I'm just adding that one in. Tell them where you're going and a general idea of when you're coming back. And I'll have to confess too many sins if I get too deep into that one. Just say, hey, I'm going here. Be back at this time. The last one is this, for time's sake, is thoughts. I said that earlier, right? Women are more attracted to emotions and actions, and that you're thinking of them. The value of a gift is how much thought went into it and how much you think about them. The last one is thoughts. They need time, they need touch, they need talk, and they need thoughts. And we need to give good gifts that actually mean something. That's why every Valentine's Day is geared towards men. They're trying to help you get ready. They're reminding you that it's coming. Put some thought into this. Trust me, and I thought I was getting away with it for many years. Women know when you picked it up on the way home. On the day of. They know. They're nice enough not to say much, but they know when you bought it on the day of. And I've said it over and over again, but just as a public service announcement, even if they ask for it, don't give exercise equipment. Just saying. Even if they ask for it. Sometimes women, here's the thing. You need to do something to catch them off guard. Be romantic. Something as simple and crazy as lighting a candle. I'm on my way home. What can I bring? Chick-fil-A. Come home and light the candle. And it's like, he loves me. Look at my Big Mac looks so much better under my candlelight. There's candles lit in my house. I'm usually the one blowing them out, but every once in a while I'll go light one. And my wife's like, what's the occasion? McDonald's, baby. You know I love you. I'm like, you know, I'm loving it, right? And it's McDonald's. Light a candle. Do something romantic. Do something to catch them off guard. Cook dinner one night. Do things like send a text for no reason in the middle of the day that says, I was thinking about you and I love you. Make a phone call in the middle of the day. Do something that lets them know, hey, I'm thinking about you. And maybe most importantly, remember your anniversary. And that's huge. Remember your anniversary. Do something with all the technology we have in the world and the iPhones and everything else. Set yourself a reminder that today's your, set it a week in advance so you can put thought into the gift. Time and touch and talk and thoughts. Why? Because we're called to lead. And the way we lead is by telling our wife and showing our wife and letting our wife know, you're my queen. I value you. I love you and I'm willing to give up my life for you to lead our family spiritually. Take your marriage seriously. As much as we can laugh about these things, I pray, I beg, I am passionate that you would take your marriage seriously. For some of you, to rekindle the fire of romance. For some of you, to make it even deeper. Some of you not even married long enough to understand all this, Matt and Bridget. You're like, we don't deal with it. It was been a year. Has it been two? Oh, y'all were there then. You're right at the point. You need this today. right? Some in our second service are about to get married, and take your marriage seriously. Men, love your wives. That's our charge today. Let me pray for us.